Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
Today on Call the Midwife After Show, we're talking the clap, carbuncles, and a pernicious case of recalcitrant shoelaces. All that and more in just a minute.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz
begin. Okay, welcome everybody. Thank you for joining us for Call the Midwife Series Season 8, Episode 7. I'm John Comerford, joined in the studio by Tamara Berg.
Hi, everybody.
And our cohort, Courtney, is off visiting family, so we wish her happy time.
She is on a jet plane right now.
Exactly,
as we speak.
So we'll soldier on without her. First of all, I want to talk your overall thoughts about this episode.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Like everybody, I was stunned and amazed.
Yeah, exactly.
I did have a little bit of notice because I read Twitter before I watched the episode. So I knew there was a shocking twist. Uh-huh. They delivered with a shocking twist. And what I had said via Twitter was, wow, the Call the Midwife found a new way for us to experience pain today. And so that was kind of my it was a gut punch. Uh-huh. And I liked it. And one of the things that I wanted to mention was it's interesting how this series season they are pulling in longer storylines self-contained within one episode.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I'm enjoying that.
Nice. Not being part of Twitter or anything, that was blissfully ignorant. So I got to experience just the twist without knowing what was going. So I did enjoy that. I just thought we'll get into it in depth with Val and Gran and stuff like that. But I thought that was great. I liked that a lot.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that. We'll also make sure at the end we'll have a special segment that we'll talk about.
We have a very silly special segment.
We'll talk about at the end. So I want to stick around for everybody to stick around for that. But let's get into this into a deeper dive here. I want to start out with Heather and Vince. Thank you for clapping.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, and have we had a storyline that involved?
No. Not within the mother.
Yes,
not
exactly. Because I went, oh, that's right. I don't remember another one. Maybe we have, but I don't remember it.
I don't think so.
This one certainly was specific. Heather comes in. It's her first child.
Yes.
Pregnancy. And we learn lots about them.
He's a bookie.
He's a bookie, yeah.
Not a gambler.
Night. Exactly.
Because he's virtuous.
Right. And they waited.
According to Heather.
They waited.
Yes.
Was it worth waiting? All that. We learn all that stuff, but, you know, they waited.
But right off the bat, we find out burns when she weeds.
Yeah. In her waterworks. She says the waterworks and it burns. And there's an odor.
Yeah, we didn't need to go talk about that. But anyway, Trixie says it's probably nothing because there are lots of things that could be.
Uh-huh.
What were you thinking
right away? It burns.
No.
I mean,
yes. That's because that's the telltale sign. But we can make lots of predictions with this show, and mm-hmm. sometimes we're right, but lots of times we're not. So, and she decides that she's going to have a special dinner with Vincent when he gets home, and then they're going to have an early night. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink, say no more.
Yeah.
But he can't.
No.
Because he's got to go to work.
Absolutely.
Because there's some heavy pockets at the track.
And with the baby coming, he's got to. Yeah, absolutely.
Right? And he's got to line his
pockets. Sounds all legit, right?
Right? Exactly. Yeah, so we see him headed to the racetracks, and there's red light in the area. The proverbial red light district.
And they did the nice cutback of Heather being at home in her
negligee.
It
was a negligee with her hair cascading down the side. Mm-hmm, yes, very lovely. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And a lovely prostitute answers the door. Come on in. Again.
And we're going, okay, that's where we're going with this.
So while Heather was at the clinic meeting Trixie said, you know, let's just take a little urine test to see if everything's okay. Come to find out, everything's not okay.
But and I liked, you know, he has to go get Trixie and decides that, you know, we should go together to
Dr. Turner.
Yeah, Dr. Mm-hmm. Turner to break the news. And, you know,
that was wise.
Yeah. Yes, it was wise. She was not, let's just say she was disbelieving.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And that's but what we love each other, thing. She
Absolutely.
Says.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We waited the whole thing. And, when he comes in,
right as they're talking about it, like mid, they're right in the middle of the movie.
You know, exactly. For a guy who, you know, the night before, however long it was before, when he was making all these excuses and seemed to have his act together, he was terrible in the moment.
Yeah, he was deer in the head. What?
Exactly.
What? Yeah. They say you're mistaken and that you have gonorrhea. What?
Just by the look.
Yeah, and then he was like, yeah, so anyway, she says we love each other. He would never do that. Mm-hmm. And then Trixie says, you know, listen, what we're worried about is you having an early delivery. And
Dr. Turner's worried about what the effect gonorrhea could have on the baby's eyes.
Right, and, yeah, exactly.
It's just common.
So she says, I'm going to leave. I'm leaving. I'm going to the maternity home. Mm-hmm. And you can stay here and stew.
I know, but it was interesting that when she's leaving and she's getting in the car, Connie's outside, the friend of hers and who went to the surgery together and all that kind of stuff, going to the pregnancy together, so to speak, their own pregnancy. And she gives a look to Vince and everything like that. And he's, you know, the look he gave her is like, what are you up about? You know, why are you pissed off at Connie? It was just a weird exchange.
I felt like that was the look of guilt.
Is that, okay,
that was what I read.
I didn't read it that way. It was just like, what? Yeah. Okay. But that makes way more sense.
Hangdog, basically. Yeah.
All right.
So then he needs to be tested as well for the clap.
Yeah.
And talks to Dr. Turner. Turner is not very nice.
Well, we've all had a dose of it, as he says.
I mean, everybody's had the clap. Am I right, Doc? I can assure you, no, we haven't all. So. And then Dr. Turner says, so, this is not your first time.
Yeah. I like better though the fact that let's just skip to a point where he has to find out who the woman is, who the professional that
right, because it's not romantic,
right? Yeah,
he's trying it's to not explain, an affair,
right? He's trying to explain all this as if that's how
going to a hooker.
Yeah, that
it's so much better.
That's what I thought was great. I thought it was great. I mean, because, you know, all kinds of rationalizations could have come. But the fact that that's where he went and he put that in his mind that, you know, I'm not having an affair. You know, this, no.
It's purely this, business
exactly,
transaction.
Exactly. I thought, wow, yeah, that's good. And that worked for him. That was
that was how he rationalized it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, all right, that's where he's going to go with that. Sure.
Yep.
Yep. I thought that was great.
Yeah.
And I thought it was even better that they kept it going double down when Dr. Turner meets up with the professional at the brothel or whatever it is and explains to her that, okay, no more sex. We're shutting you down.
She says, okay, love, closed for business to the next person walking up to the door. Turns out to be?
Yeah.
Hey, Vince. Hey, Vince.
I thought that was amazing.
While Dr. Turner is standing right there. Why are you here?
Yeah.
He says, I don't know.
Yeah,
I
but first he says, he says he understands the whole thing, but clearly, no, he doesn't understand any of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Like abstain.
Yes, and he's all upset. And I'm saying, what are you upset with him for? Dr. Turner didn't do anything wrong.
Clearly.
Oh, God, I thought it was great.
Yeah.
In a tragic way. But I thought it was hysterical that he doubled down on the whole thing. He's, I know, Doc. Where's she? The whole thing. Yeah. And then he just shows up the next day, whatever it was. I'm going, man, how can you be that, I don't know, delusional, that much in denial?
Yeah, delusional is the word. Yeah.
So,
I think so, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
But we do finally get this backstory about how supposedly, and even that, I thought, I was having trouble. I'm going, what is it? Now, this is before I learned the whole thing about his misspent youth or misguided youth, whatever it was. I'm going, what is he, just a sex addict? What's
right, that's
deal?
What I wrote on my notes. Yeah. Is he a sex addict?
But the way he explains it, he had a lot of frustration that pent up that he needed to be.
He needed to blow off steam.
Yeah, because otherwise you get into fights. And at least that's how he explained it.
Yeah.
Everything like that. And somebody, led him down the path. Says, oh, here's how you do that. And he took him to the professionals.
Mm-hmm.
And I just went,
right. So
wow.
In, again, in his mind, it was just this is how you deal with that.
Yeah.
It's not love. It's not an affair.
Right.
Yeah. It's just stress relief.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Okay. All right.
Dr. Turner talks about how self-destructive behavior is often a reaction to stressful stimulators.
Yeah.
Or stressful situations, I guess.
Because
if you're about
to be a parent, then that could cause...
So life is very stressful right now. That's why your feet just led you straight down to the red light district, when even though you knew you were in trouble and all sorts of things.
But I couldn't quite get the connection. So am I supposed to take away from that when he was younger and he was in stress situations, that was self-destructive?
Yeah, I guess.
All right.
It clearly is now.
Yeah, it was just an odd
because he was saying, Vince was saying, I have everything anybody could want. Mm-hmm. I have a beautiful wife whom I love. I have a great life. I have a child on the way.
He's happy for that.
And so, that was why it was clearly connecting to being a
self-destructive
right. behavior.
Because he's putting all that in jeopardy.
Yeah. And so Dr. Turner encourages counseling. Meanwhile, we have back in the maternity home, Heather there finding out that other mothers are gossiping about her.
Yeah, that was bad.
Mm-hmm. And she was saying, maybe I'm getting what I deserved.
Yeah.
Because I used to gossip about people,
too.
Well,
that's true. But she also was talking, I just thought, this part was just tragic to me, again. She thought she did everything right in the kitchen, in the bedroom, and the way she was explaining it. And then she was, the fact that they waited and all that other stuff, and it didn't matter what she did. She thought she did it all right. And it still didn't matter because he was going to go out and pay
for it. Because she thought she was worth the wait.
Yeah. Well, he even said that, didn't he? I think isn't that how the line went? Is that it was worth the wait and all that kind of stuff?
I thought I was worth the wait.
Yeah.
I wasn't worth anything.
Yeah.
That's what she said. Yeah. Mm. Mm. So then she's starting to go into labor.
Yeah.
And she's very ambivalent about whether or not he should even know.
Yeah. Because, that's what you want to be thinking about when you're going into labor, is whether or not you should have your husband there and the father.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the kind of thing that's...
Yeah. And I just thought it was very interesting that she, was just so on the fence about it because usually people are more definitive about things like that.
Sure, especially when it just happens.
And life is complicated. Mm-hmm. And so I thought that was a really interesting choice of, I don't know, should I? Shouldn't I?
And I do like the fact that she said they talked about it, they dreamt about it, and because clearly they had a whole different idea how this was going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not going to happen. That can't happen that way now because of what I just learned.
Right.
So, and I thought about that. I'm just going, the whole thing that's going through is my marriage a sham? Is it all of, just waste? And it was just not what I thought it was from the beginning.
And what's my future going
exactly.
to be
Exactly. Like? Yeah, yeah, yeah. So all that's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So eventually she decides to, the baby is born. She's a girl.
Girl, yeah.
She does not have any signs exhibiting of eye infection that would have been the big risk to her.
I also thought it was great just that just in juxtaposition because we had Connie, who this was not her first child. We'll get to Connie's story. But the fact that she was having a child and she had the first one was very easy. The second one, the moaning, the loud. And it seemed like, Heather's was not too, very quiet in comparison and all that stuff. I was just I thought it was interesting.
Yeah. So the baby girl comes out and she decides – that Vince can see her.
Yeah.
Right?
Finally brings him in.
So Vince comes into the hospital room, the delivery room, sees the baby, and Heather says, Dr. Turner's talking about us, talking to somebody maybe, maybe going to counseling and talk about things.
Talking about things we don't talk about.
Talk about the things we don't talk about?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I think
to
probably
another
made,
person, yeah,
probably
exactly.
made him pee his pants a little bit.
It might have burned too,
and it could have burned. Yeah, different kind of burn.
Yeah,
but he got burned.
Right. But I thought it was even better that she. That's it. You lay down the law. Okay, you're getting rid of the boogie. You're gonna come up at a decent hour. I'm gonna know where you are.
Named Agnes and after look, my mother.
And the look on his face is like.
But, Yeah,
exactly. But what
can
you say?
Can I get you a cup of tea?
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Talk about the thing we don't talk about.
Exactly. I thought so much of that was, for me, it was funny, but I wasn't laughing out loud. It just felt comical in a sense because, you know, what could he say?
Right, exactly. And, you know, the stakes are high.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I guess part of it is just that there is treatment.
Sure.
You know, for everybody involved.
Yeah.
There's treatment for the broken marriage as well.
Exactly.
So there's sort of hope in all of those situations. So
yeah.
we were let off the hook a little bit to be able to see the, I wouldn't even say humor, but just sort of lightness that was available.
I took it that way only because, I mean, certainly not all the way through. Just the moments that I thought
were,
man, that guy's messed. He's screwed. There's nothing he can
do.
But I also, just in keeping with the theme of this, which is fresh eyes, seeing people with fresh eyes.
Yeah.
Here she is seeing her marriage with fresh eyes because it's a whole, what was it, a whole sham?
Right.
Seeing him completely differently now because fresh eyes aren't always...
Not in a good way.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. You know, just because you have fresh eyes doesn't mean you're going to see it all rosy.
Yeah.
In this case, not so much.
Yeah.
So, definitely. And seeing it with Lee's eyes open now.
Yes.
She's no longer veiled.
Right.
So to speak. So.
Right.
I thought that was successful in the way they did that anyway.
Yeah, and she comes out, we always love this, a little bit empowered.
Yeah, yeah. Certainly.
And her name is Agnes.
I don't know if she's going to be making corned beef pie or anything soon.
Maybe not.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Bed. So.
All right, are we getting to the other one?
Yeah.
Do you need me to do a... Little something here.
Oh, yeah, do a commercial. Yeah, go for it.
Let's do a little commercial.
Yeah.
I don't have anything in front of me for this because Courtney usually does it. But this is the moment where we thank you guys for watching and listening. We appreciate you so much. AfterBuzz TV, we consider us to be the ESPN of TV talk. And as we get to do that here with Call the Midwife, we have lots of other shows. Lots of other movies, lots of other scenarios where you can find pretty much anything that's out there on the airwaves. People here will be talking about it. And so if you would, please subscribe to the podcast that we have here or here on iTunes, or if you're doing it on YouTube, here on YouTube,
sure.
Or also on iTunes. Also, rate and comment. We love the 5 stars if you've got them. Do send us comments if you can. We appreciate them very much, and we appreciate you very much. And thanks.
Nicely done. All right, let's talk to Sister Frances.
Sister Frances.
Waiting for this ever since we knew since we knew Sister Frances was obviously new. At some point, she was going to have to take on the reins by herself.
Yeah.
And that's what we're building to. And you know, obviously Phyllis has, you know, from the beginning wasn't sure that she was up for it, and has always put her with other people, and
her a second.
Yeah, and didn't want to give her too much responsibility too soon. But then Mother Mildred gets there and decides, you know, well, wait a minute. So she's been pushing like crazy to have Sister Frances go out on her own.
Yeah.
We learn out why, because...
You're ready. 6 months.
Yeah, not only that, but, you know, she was there, you know, Mother Mildred was there to learn, you know, how popular's changed and how things are going and all that other stuff. But also, she wanted to be there until she no longer had to be, and she wanted to make sure that Sister Frances was going to be able to be on her own.
Yes.
So that sets up really good. Of course, Sister Frances is not so sure about this.
No. She's tentative, I would say.
Yeah, it was good. And what a great look. I mean, every time, you know, she had that look, that,
well,
talk about a deer in the headlight.
Well, she's got that kind of cherubic face to begin with. And
exactly.
So, yeah, just, you know, we've got Connie as her patient, who's on her second baby and...
Yeah.
Ready to pop that baby out. She's very calm about it.
Very calm about it. I thought that was great because, you know, she's like over it. Her first baby was so easy, no problems, no issues. This
ham and cheesy.
Yeah, exactly.
So Frances gets assigned to
Connie. Well, you know, they give
Connie.
She's on
the leaderboard.
Exactly, by herself. And then, you know, Val gets called away and she's up next. And Sister Hilda's trying to, you're going to be fine. And everybody's trying to, you know, build her confidence and bolster her. And then when she actually gets called out,
the moment comes.
Connie, and she's fixing things.
Oh, wait, before that, Mildred is giving her a pep talk before she walks out the door.
Sure.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And says, don't forget your most important instruments. And she's standing there with her bag going, oh, bloody heck. What did I forget to put in my bag?
Bloody.
courage and humility.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Because with those, everything's going to be fine. Yeah.
Okay, but I was wasn't ready for the line that when she's actually shows up and she has a little thing with the husband and stuff and then she finally gets it. Well, I'm just trying to get to the point where she's fixing everything in the room. She goes, "Okay, what's next? Okay, I guess I need to shave you." And I was like, "What?
What?
Wait, what?
Wait, what?
I've never seen this as part of the thing. Not that they would show it or everything, but I didn't even know it was part of the thing."
They do. They have talked about.
Oh, have they?
Yeah, they have talked about it. I remember totally it coming up in early episodes. Yeah.
But honestly, because I hadn't really paid attention to it before, and I was like, "What is that?
Why would you?"
Yeah, and I was just going, "Wait, is that right? Did she make a mistake? I thought she was making a mistake."
Oh, that's funny. No, no, that was part of it.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so and Connie's like, "Hey, you're in charge."
That's what I loved. I love that Connie was so over it. "Hey, you're in charge. Whatever. Whatever. Just do whatever you need
to." Well, and you know, you kind of need to be in that scenario.
Yeah.
Somebody needs to keep their head and it shouldn't usually
Well, that's
be
true,
the,
but
the
we've
mother.
Had other expectant mothers not be that way.
No, right.
So she was like, she's fine.
Yeah. No, it was
and you
good.
Would think that that might calm Sister Frances, but no, it did not.
It didn't. Nothing. What do you mean I'm in charge? Was her subtext, I think. Me?
Yeah. And she was so ready to call somebody else.
Yeah.
We
so,
need backup.
So Connie is having pain, having a lot of pain and unusual pain. It hurt in unusual places for her because I'm not saying it. Right. So it turns out that the baby is coming out elbows first.
What do they call it? The compound?
I think that was what it was. Yeah. So when she discovers that, Sister Frances is like, "Oh, heck, we need somebody else here because I can't do it."
Right.
And
she's
Connie's
only
like,
seen it. She's
right. Connie's like, hasn't even seen it in real life. Yeah. Well, you've done one of these before, Connie says. And Frances is like, "Well, I've read a lot about it."
And even that doesn't daunt Connie.
No, she's like, "Okay, good. Books are just as good."
Yeah.
So...
But it was just not enough time or whatever, and she got down to business.
Yeah, yeah. Baby comes out.
Yeah,
it's a baby girl.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll say the episiotomy. Is that what you were going to avoid saying?
No, but go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, that was like, "Oh God, don't do that."
I know. Well, she did give her. I think she gave her Novocaine.
Right. She did. You saw that exactly. But every time they do that, I was going, "Oh my God." Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Vicious. Mm-hmm. So then. The baby is born, and Connie says, "Well done, you, sister. You don't need backup. We did it all on our own, just the three of us."
And then, again, they cut back to
so
Sister Frances.
Sweet.
And then the look on her face compared to that look on her face, which is priceless.
Yes.
Wasn't that great?
Yes.
That they took the time to do that?
Yeah, it was beautifully acted.
Especially because they kept going back to her reaction shots.
Yes.
Each time. So this is, I think, the third time, you know, because before we saw the face of the deer in the headlights. Oh, my God. And finally, we got the release of seeing her being proud. And then when she finally got back to the dinner and everybody's clapping and applauding and everything like that. And
but no, my work is not
You get
done.
An extra egg and an extra piece of bacon. Yep. And I was like, wow, that's her, you know. Oh my God.
Well, it was breakfast by that.
Yeah, but it's just that was her, the fact that she gets
I'd do it for an extra piece of bacon. I'd deliver a baby Ella's first for extra bacon.
Yes, but she wasn't done because we saw her before she went into Connie. She grabbed the cross around her neck and she said a prayer. And then we finally get to see her at the end. She hasn't finished her work because she hasn't given thanks.
Straight to the chapel.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was a nice moment that they, because, you know, I didn't know what she meant by still working.
Yeah.
I was not expecting.
No, I didn't either.
No.
I thought, you know, because there's always like, there are other things that the mother needs help with. I thought that was what she was going for.
Because often, I know
like
they're dressed.
They're going back again.
They're in their habit, the whole thing. But I forget sometimes because you know, they're delivering babies.
Right.
And oh, that's right. They have a whole thing, a whole life outside the babies.
So then the epilogue to this story is the party afterwards. right?
Yes.
So the next day, I am assuming that Sister Frances was not invited to the party, that she was going there
She was going there to do the checkup.
Capacity to do a checkup. Yeah. Finds out there's a party.
Yeah.
And that Connie's crying.
Yeah.
In her bedroom.
Right.
So what did you think was happening there?
I honestly thought postpartum right away. I was just like, because why, you know, but because of what was happening with Vince and Heather.
Yeah.
I was going, is there more to this story?
Is there,
or you
something? Write that we don't know?
Yeah, exactly, because it wasn't real specific in
right.
the first act.
Yeah, I thought postpartum too. And then yeah. Connie just is telling her, look, yeah. this is just not how I, none of this really
right.
ends up being how I expected it.
Right, because.
So the delivery didn't go the way I expected. Mm-hmm. The pain wasn't the same. Yeah. Baby's the same.
Sure.
But then the
this is why your birth should not go so easy the first time.
Right? It's like bad dress, good show.
Exactly, so you don't have an unreasonable expectations.
Just right.
assume they're all going to be difficult
horrors.
And traumatic. Exactly.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she couldn't quiet the baby, no. and she was not feeling well. And Sister Frances is like, okay, hang on a minute. Yeah. You basically had, you did have yeah. surgery.
Stitches, yeah,
you
yeah,
have
yeah.
stitches in probably the one place you don't want to have stitches. Let's just be real about that. That's the one place you can't really right. handle stitches.
No.
And so there's a baby going on. I mean, there's a party going on. There's a baby there that needs assistance. And mm-hmm. Connie's talking about how she can't settle the yeah. baby. And so I love it. Sister Frances,
yeah,
take in charge,
yeah,
right?
Wasn't that nice? Yeah.
Coming out. Going, hang on, people. Yeah.
And this is a woman who had a difficult time speaking in front of...
Right!
Yeah.
Yes!
So I thought that was... They certainly made that call back without talking about it. They just did it. So she certainly found her voice. So I thought that was great.
Everybody out?
Let's get out.
Get out?
Yeah.
I'm taking charge.
Yeah.
She needs rest. Yeah. And that is all there is to it. People, get out.
Mm-hmm. We got to... Let's get to the Brooke Advisory Center.
Okay.
Because that's off the whole thing. I guess we could start off. I mean, we start there, don't we?
Yeah.
That's the thing that...
There's a party at the Turners.
Right? Everybody's getting ready for it. All right. So
three of the ladies are getting ready.
So I paid attention because I knew Courtney wasn't going to be here. So
Thank
I paid attention
you.
To the fashion a little bit.
What do you think about the fashion,
John? And I was already paying attention before I even heard the Vanessa giving the voiceover about a new dress and everything. I saw that. I was like, look at those smart outfits.
Really? What colors were the outfits, John?
Well, thank you, Jeff. Val was wearing some diamond, it had pinks and beiges in it.
Yes,
like
it did
that.
Have some diamond Harlequin sort of print.
Thank you, yeah.
Yes.
And
Trixie,
wasn't it red?
It was sort of
fuchsia
red,
okay,
which was
go.
The color of the Oscars last night.
There,
you
yeah, that's right.
And it was kind of like the pantsuit tunic, like long, short thing.
Yeah.
It was very snappy.
And Lisa had a yellow.
Yellow dress,
see?
That's right.
I paid attention.
Everybody was very fancy for
that was
like,
extremely fancy.
Community meeting,
yeah.
basically, right?
And then even when Vi showed up, she had that green.
And a hat.
Yeah, I was like, what the heck?
Right. I don't remember. I mean, not that I know much of the 60s, but I don't remember seeing the 60s being that fancy.
Extremely posh for
Very posh for Poplar. Maybe that's
right?
maybe that was the deal. As long as it's after 5, it's dark outside, I'm going to wear some sparkles.
Well, yeah, that, you know, again, it's keeping with the theme is seeing everybody anew. I certainly yeah. saw it anew because.
Yeah.
You know.
And there was liquor being served.
I know. My God. Well.
So before they're headed off to the Brooke Advisory Center meeting at the Turners, where there are going to be canapes
and pineapples with
pineapple on skewers. Good gracious, this is a fancy party.
Oh,
Sister Julianne warns, I would hope that you'll be open to other points of view.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah, they laced that in there because it came back too. So.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm. But it was interesting that the other point of view came from Vi, really.
In which part?
Well, she was talking about this is a great idea. Sure, it's great for women, but you know, there's only some amount of money.
Oh, Vi. Sorry, I got her.
So, and if we do this for women and children, who are we going to take from?
Right.
And so they're setting the whole thing up there. That obviously.
Yeah.
You know, but that's why you're a counselor.
So then when we're at the community meeting,
yeah.
Sister or Mother Mildred is very like aggressively encouraging to Trixie.
No, this is before.
Oh, before.
This is actually that's after
no,
that.
After, yeah.
Yeah, it's after when they're at the dinner table because they're talking about where they're going to find the money, and Trixie was saying how she wished Vi was more receptive.
Right.
Something like that.
Exactly.
You have to convince her.
And that
yeah.
and that she'd been more open about
right.
about the problem right. with the money. So Mother Mildred is saying to Trixie, you know, you need, what was the word?
Show your initiative, use your resources. Julianne's right here. She knows more about Poplar than anybody.
Right.
Yeah.
And then Sister Julianne
yeah.
says,
yeah,
yeah I don't necessarily share your point of view or yeah. the vision
yeah.
for the center.
More opposing viewpoints.
Right.
Or different viewpoints.
Right. So, right. Mm-hmm. She was very tactful about that. Yeah, of course. But yeah, of course. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, that was interesting. And then, you know, at dinner, Mother Mildred says to Val, Val's getting ready to leave the table, right? Yeah. To go visit grandmother. What did you think Gran would think of the Brooke Center? And Val says, well, I think my gran would be dancing in the streets, and then talks about the two early memories that are directly connected to women's problems in the past.
Yeah.
And directly connected to problems that could be, at least, you know, supported.
Right.
Like, you could be supported in those problems.
Yes.
Now.
But she also makes the point that that's the poplar where she came from. It's the poplar where she came from. It's also the place we work in. So it's not just in the past. It's recurrent. That's what's happening now.
Now.
And she specifically says it to Julian. Which, and I went, oh, okay.
Yeah, rocking the boat.
Exactly.
Right?
Making her points. Yeah, nice.
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was forceful. It was strong. Yeah. It was interesting. There were opposing points of view being pointed out. Oh, and the other thing at the party, I loved when Mother Mildred said, now I haven't necessarily made my mind up.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, she's just there.
That was, I thought that was very her.
Yeah.
You know, and very interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so next, Cyril and Lucille are getting ready to go out to the
and
movies.
And she was wearing an orange.
Oh my God, you're hilarious. With a portrait collar. I believe that's called.
I don't know what that is.
I know you don't. That's why I said it.
Thank you. I'm just trying to pick up the slap.
Very beautiful. And very beautiful. And Cyril looking very handsome.
Dapper. Absolutely.
So we find out that the movie theater is shut down.
Who are they going to see? I can't remember.
I don't remember.
Yeah,
I'm sure somebody's going to tell us right now. But the movie house is closed.
Yeah.
And so Cyril says, want me to take you to the social club? You'll get the bike. Ooh, I don't think so.
None of that.
Says Lucille.
Yeah. And Monica Jones thinks, hey, the bingo thing's a good idea.
Right, right. Val's trying to get somebody to go with her.
Yeah.
So Trixie decides, all right, I'll go. What about some good wholesome fun?
Yeah.
And then
They
all end up going to bingo. And they meet. So it's Val, Trixie, Gran, Lucille, Cyril, all at bingo.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about Trixie's fashion at the bingo parlor? Because you commented on it when we were watching.
I did. Oh, yeah. What was the hat? She looked like she was out of the Wild Bunch.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what the rest of it.
Leather jacket.
Is that
leather hat.
Okay. Yeah.
And I think it was,
but that was
all,
the time,
again,
you know,
Harlequin.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Marlon Brando, Wild Bunch.
Yeah, so she was doing a bit of a...
Absolutely.
It looked like a costume almost.
That was great.
It was great. So we find out Gran's boils are acting up. Okay, people. Here we go.
I thought we were done with the boils, to be honest with you. I thought we were. I really did. I had hoped.
I had hoped as well.
Yeah.
Cyril ends up being the big winner of the night. Beginner's luck. Not only wins bingo, but also
the
wins
raffle,
the raffle.
And the cake and the whole deal.
The Madeira cake.
Yeah.
Which I want some
And because I was paying attention.
Yeah, you did. You
the
did.
The Madeira tin was in the same color as Lucille's dress.
Yes.
I'm just saying.
Yes. Speaking of fashion, just going back to the two pregnant women in this, of Connie and Heather, their outfits were so pretty with Connie in the orange jacket and Heather in the turquoise jacket, and they matched their dresses perfectly, which I'm going to say in Poplar was probably not reasonable because you have one coat
probably,
that gets you through everything.
Yeah.
You're probably going to pick a color far more functional,
neutral,
good than orange and turquoise, but damn, it looked great. It looked really pretty with their
But you
dresses.
Know what also looked great? Let's just, because we just talked about Cyril. And when they were walking back after the bingo, and they were walking back and they had the things. Just the way he offered his arm, she took it. And then we had the shot of them going into Nanata's house and stuff. I thought that was great.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was just a real...
The wide
Yeah,
shot.
It was a great shot.
Yeah.
And it looked really pretty. And they looked great together. And you know, all the hope that was there in that shot. I thought it was
probably
great.
Going to get crushed.
Of course.
Week.
Of course.
It ends up that Gran needs to go to the Turner surgery to get her
boils taken care of. Turns out it's a carbuncle.
It's a carbuncle.
Yeah, and then
John, you're on fire with your fashion observations.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Secret Agent. Yeah, he's just trying to fill Courtney's shoes.
Not
an easy thing.
And I think one of the dresses were cut on the bias.
Oh, stop it. We don't know that. And they weren't. Okay, so she she goes to the surgery. She has a carbuncle.
And he has to figure out what it is. Streptococcus, strep throat, whatever the heck it was.
Streptococcus. Goes to the, then she goes back again. Sister Julian treats her. They find out it's streptococcus.
Yeah.
Which we will learn later. Or if we can remember back, it's a very important distinction.
Yeah. But that was even in that moment. It was great to see Julie, you know, I guess because I liked it. It seemed like they kind of knew each other. They certainly knew of each other, that kind of thing. And there was, you know, just the
camaraderie.
Yes, exactly. I thought that was great. And then they, you know, I even liked the question. I thought that was great is, you know, just talking about what would you have, you had been a nurse. So you were talking about, actually, Graham was bragging about Val, talking about that she's a nurse, she can do anything, she's bright and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And then Julian asks her, would you have liked to, do you have aspirations? And then we learned, that no, because only ladies could do that. And right then I was going, what does that mean?
She's a poplar girl.
Yeah, I know, exactly. I had a hard, difficult time trying to figure out how she viewed herself.
Right.
Clearly not as a lady. Yeah, I mean, she said she stopped schooling when she was 12. She didn't have the learning, all that kind of stuff. So she just wasn't up to snuff.
And Val would be doing everything that Gran, also known as Elise, couldn't do.
Right.
And so she was very proud of her.
Yeah.
Cut to the next thing that happens.
Up. Just setting us up.
There's a call at, we have to do a quick side conversation about who calls.
Okay.
Aunt Flo. I wish Courtney was here for this moment because Aunt Flo, really, in a show about women, Aunt Flo. Aunt Flo's called.
Yeah.
Aunt Flo's calling. Thank you. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you. Aunt Flo calls. Okay, so we're at Nanatus. There's an urgent call for Val.
Bring your bag. Come the back stairs. And I'm just going, oh. And of course, I thought they did a great job with the misdirect because I thought it was all about Gran and her carbuncle, whatever the heck it was. I was like, how could that cause such a big deal? But that was the only thing I was thinking. Might be a twist.
So I knew there was a twist, and I can't remember when it was, if it was during the conversation with Sister Julian.
Right.
I believe that's when it was that it came up to me, for me, the conversation with Sister Julian and connected to the conversation with Doc Turner about streptococcus. That was when I went, oh.
You made that connection?
I did. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and so I was just like sitting there with my teeth gritted, terrified for the next.
Here's what I did. Because they were doing such a good job with the relationship between Gran and Val, and they're really making us like them and, you know, I thought, geez, are they going to kill Gran? They're going to kill off Gran.
Yeah, that's what I thought before I got the tip off that.
Yeah, that's
that
where
it
I was going.
Coming. Yeah.
Because Amp will come quickly, bring your bag. I'm going, what?
Yeah, but I knew at that moment.
So I didn't know that at all.
So, bring your bag. Trixie decides to go as well. I need you at the pub.
Reinforcements.
Come up the back entrance.
Right. Yeah, I didn't put it together.
So it needs to be something private.
She was so private about her, you know, flashing her pins that I figured, it's good. Yeah. That's honestly where I went with it.
So we get Trixie walking in, Trixie and Val walking in. And Aunt Flo is there, and Trixie it's Val who says, has someone been doing an abortion? And because this poor Teresa is on the table hemorrhaging on the dining table.
Dining table, sure, yeah.
Hemorrhaging. And
in a storeroom or whatever the hell that was.
Yeah.
A bar.
Yeah, there were chairs
exactly.
all
just
around,
odd. Yeah.
Like stacked. Mm-hmm. And Gran says, yes, me.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, I thought, because Val is so vocal in how many different episodes about wanting, you know, if I ever find out who it was and on and on. And, you know, we were even positing that maybe she had had an abortion in the past or something like that. And that's and then this. And, you know, they were, again, just making such a good thing about, you know, oh, she takes some money for ice cream and stuff like that.
Yeah, the ice cream money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the money she's spending for ice cream is the abortion money.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then to have this happen, and this is her Gran.
Yeah.
And
so Trixie takes charge because Val is
frozen.
shaken. Yeah,
to the core.
She is pale. She is devastated. I had a really hard time watching. This was in the last 10 minutes, I think, right. Of the show. And I had such a hard time watching it because I was so shaken as well right. for Val and like all of the repercussions of all of this, mm-hmm. which we end up talking about as we get into it.
Yeah.
But Trixie says, you need to call an ambulance, Aunt Flo.
Yeah. And she said, no, I thought this was great. No, you know, I can't do that. And, and again, because I don't know all the rules of the day. And then when she says, you know, clearly it's because it's illegal, I can get arrested.
If we have to leave, we will come back with a police officer, right, Val? And Val says,
yes. And with Grand just in the background right there. Yeah. Again, that was shot. Yeah. Nicely composed. Yeah.
So Teresa goes off in an ambulance.
And isn't it interesting that she, no wavering at that point. For
Trixie.
Val.
Oh, for Val.
Yeah,
no.
Until then, she was like, stopped in her tracks. Yeah. You know, she was frozen. But in that moment, even with Gran right there, no, yeah, she said, yeah, absolutely, we're calling the cops.
So. So then the conversation between Val and Gran, why did you send for me? Val mm-hmm. says, what you did was criminal, and mm-hmm. I don't mean it in just the literal sense. And then there was this conversation between them. So... Grant says, even if you don't forget where you're from and whose side you should be on.
Yeah.
Also talks about, Val talks about, you haven't seen what I've seen. Mm-hmm. Boys being motherless, young yeah. women shaken, then women being married and it's safe, but then they've been lacerated. So they can't have babies, been lacerated by someone like you. Mm-hmm. Gran says, I can match you tear for bloody tear. And then they talk about the money.
Yeah.
And the money comes out. Gran burns some of the money. And so talk about that scene. I want you to give your take about that scene.
Well, first of all, it's a great scene. I mean, you want to have a scene like that. You know, the best scenes are when two people have great arguments and the arguments can't be answered. They're
right.
just great arguments.
Right.
And you can see both people's point of view and they're really vocal about it and they're ardent about it and stuff like that.
Yeah.
For me, I wanted even more. I wanted more in your face kind of stuff. I just did.
Well, yeah. But, I sort of did too. Okay. And I think part of the reason why is because, you know, a lot of the argument for Val was in the very top of the show.
Yeah.
In the first few minutes where she was talking about on behalf
yeah.
of her grandma.
Yeah, I know. That's
about
why,
the pain.
Yeah.
And there was so much time between those mm-hmm. points
yeah.
that some of the import was lost on why, because that's why Gran is doing this.
Sure.
Partly.
Yeah.
Because she needs to save women from the kind of mm-hmm. treatment that she and her contemporaries had lived through their whole lives.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I felt like when we watched it together the second time, mm-hmm. I was saying to you, why is this not getting to me as mm-hmm. much as I think
as
it
you
should?
Wanted it to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you had an opinion about that.
Oh, you're talking about the way it was shot?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, there was a couple of times when they, again, this is technical and silly, but for me, they didn't stick with the emotion of them. Too. They were cutting the wide shots, which I wouldn't want to do normally.
Right.
Because it was more effective in the two.
Because you're more in the,
yeah,
their actual
yeah,
face and
actually,
seeing
yeah,
and
yeah,
connecting
exactly.
with how they're
right.
feeling, right?
Right. And that seemed odd to me. And it took me out.
Yeah.
A couple of times. And so the momentum of that scene for me was just got lost a little bit. That's just what it came across to me. That's
yeah.
It. But I still think, you know, first of all, you have to have that scene. It's a great scene to have. You want the two of them making those arguments. And, you know, that's what makes for great drama, great conflict, all that other stuff.
Yeah.
I just wanted it even. I wanted more from
yeah.
that. For me.
Yeah.
I'm sure other people thought it was great and loved it.
Well, I mean, it was a devastating scene.
Yeah.
It could have been a little more devastating, yeah, I guess, is so, the point I'm trying mm-hmm. to make.
I mean, yeah, and there's just a lot. It was a full, packed scene.
Oh.
So.
Yeah.
And I don't know how they come back from that, by the way.
There are police involved.
Yeah, no, but I mean, the two of them, how do they, I mean, that'll be really interesting to see how the two of them, Gran and Val, come back from that sequence. How they, if they
yeah,
do.
Yeah, can you separate
exactly.
the act
can,
from the person?
Right, and can mm-hmm. you overcome what you know?
Right.
Because clearly she is now seeing Granny with fresh eyes.
Yeah. Also not in a good way.
Yeah. And how do you...
I mean, unless it is. Unless you can, you know, she... if you want to make the argument for Gran, she was coming from a place of help. Right. She was trying to do her best.
Yep.
And
she knows the pain that other women are suffering, and she's trying to alleviate that pain. All of that is there.
Right.
What I'm just saying is the way they've colored Val so far.
Yes.
She's vehement. Yes. I don't know if she has room for forgiveness right now.
I know.
And that's why I think it'll be very interesting how they bring that around.
And I would bet there's going to have to be some spiritual element that comes into that, because forgiveness is something that the nuns are familiar with. Yeah.
And but where's, you know, how are they going to get to who's she going to talk to? Julianne? And will Julianne, you know, because, you know, she's not necessarily a proponent.
Right.
So
she's
certainly a proponent of forgiveness, but not necessarily the clearly not the act and all that stuff. So
I would think that Trixie's going to have a lot to say about that.
Sure, absolutely. This will be good.
Yeah.
So
because and plus she was there. Right.
You know, we have to get to a couple other things. One thing that we forgot to talk about on the Sister Frances storyline is when she came home and after she's delivered the baby and stuff like that, and she catches
Mother Mildred
trying to put on her recalcitrant shoelace.
Yes. So she did a Nanny McPhee on her.
She did. She Nanny McPhee'd her.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
I will leave when you no longer need me.
Yeah, that's right.
And I will stay as long as you don't want me or whatever that is. I can't remember. But it was a Nanny McPhee. I arrived without fanfare and I will leave the same way.
And I thought it was great that they took the time to do the shot. I loved her walking away. It's almost the same shot that we saw Lucille and Cyril walking in, but in reverse, we saw her walking away the same. And in the cover of Night.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So I thought that was great.
Monica Joan in the Olympics. Great. That would be me. That will be me when I'm her age, because I do it already.
She's at the surgery and she's got the little boy.
Recruiting the four-year-old. Yeah.
She's
your limbs maybe aren't quite long enough, so... Yeah. You are a bit of an ectomorph, though, so I'm going to say.
Oh, my God.
And then Artemis of the Chase.
She's acting as a scout
for the government.
Yeah.
And Packer wins gold.
Yay, win 1964.
We have Nurse Crane.
Yeah.
With the many well-wishers.
Okay, yeah.
She's very popular.
Yeah, and Miss Higgins brings them, and then later on Lucille brings one from Sergeant Wolf. And here I'm going, you know, the last time we really addressed this with Lucille, she was saying, Phyllis was saying that she's going to have to deal with this bravely, that she's been a bit of a coward. And I'm going, she's still being cowardly. She's not.
Right, she's exactly. She's not accepting.
I was like, when is she going to do something about this?
It's hot in here, Jeff.
Yeah, I know. Right. Yeah. And I kept going, well, come on now. You got all day to think about it. Write him a letter. Bring him in, something. And she's not doing it. I say, come on, Phyllis. You sit there in a hospital bed and go tut tut because the nurse doesn't do her bed corners right. And you can't bring in Sergeant Wolf.
She's scared.
Please.
Okay. I wanted to talk.
We gotta get to Turner and May. We didn't.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Because they got the letter. You know, we saw them in the beginning at the party.
Because I don't want to talk about it. That's why.
Exactly. And they, you know, we see, you know, Mother Mildred's. Oh, look at May. She's grown up, and the big smile on her.
Oh yeah. That was great. Stop feeding them.
Exactly. All that kind of stuff. That was fun. And later on, of course, we see Sheila with the letter, the adoption, the family's
family
ready for
meeting, and then the family meeting with the raspberry.
Yeah.
Dessert.
And then Timothy not having it, not liking it at all. No. And he's I like that they added this. I wasn't expecting this, that he was really more worried about Angela.
Yes.
And how is she going to deal with it? Yeah. Of course, that could have been just cover for his
himself.
Own. Yeah, sure. Yeah. But I think he was worried about his sister.
Yeah. So yeah, of course. So. I'm going to predict that May's not leaving.
You're going to say that, huh?
You don't think they're going to rip? No, because I said that to you earlier. I said they're not going to take May on the finale. And you said, well, but they killed Barbara last season.
Yeah.
They didn't kill Barbara last season on the finale. They killed her the penultimate episode.
Sure.
So
okay.
So yeah, and then I swore a bunch because I had memories of the finale and how painful and sad it was. Yeah. I wanted to talk about directing. You talked about it in there, two shots, the tracking shots. There was a different direction.
Oh, they did. They had a lot of movement and they had a lot of choreographed stuff going on there that they don't normally take time to do, and I thought it was kind of fun.
Yeah, it was. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really
especially
neat.
Through the surgery. They'd follow, they'd pan this way, she'd follow. There was all this choreography going on.
It was nice. Yeah, it was neat. Okay, so just real quickly, I want to do the quick closer look. You don't even have to put the slate up, Jeff, for this, but
yeah, put it up.
There's For the Americans who are listening to this later when the series comes out, I hope this is still in the episode that comes out in America because it may not translate. But that every single number in Bingo in the UK has like a little code to it.
Yeah, for our UK friends, is it still in operation? Do they still use this?
Here's the thing. Some of them are quite old. Like the 17 could be St. Patrick's Day, but more likely it is when Ireland was all one country. It was made up of 17 counties. Also, 17 is called Dancing Queen, which is clearly more
17,
sweet 16, young and sweet only 17, rather. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there are some of them that are, you know, clearly very traditional, like 23 being the Lord is my shepherd, as Sister Monica Joan talked about. And then, okay, the one that I just wanted to talk about was 5 and 6, 56, was she worth it? Val and Gran say. And that supposedly goes back to the price of a marriage license was five and six. And the same story goes for 7 and 6.
Okay.
So anyway, there's a whole, you know, maybe I'll tweet out the link for anybody who wants to see them. They're pretty dang funny. But almost every single letter has a you know me and Cockney rhyming slang. So this is just another episode of that.
Way better than the ones they have here. What, before and
after? And
after
Two Little Ducks is number 22 because it looks like two little ducks next to each other. Anyway, it's really fun and silly, and I loved it, and I thought that was adorable. And another another thing I learned about British culture.
I love that.
So any quick thoughts about the finale next week?
Not really. Here's my quick thought.
Yeah.
I hope that I just ripped the shreds.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Pretty much.
Honestly, I do.
Yeah. I mean, there's clearly going to be big conflict between Val and Graham. Yeah. So that's going to be painful.
Yeah.
And we'll probably be left with a little bit of hope in the end.
Yeah. But Mildred's gone.
Unless she's not.
No, but I mean, she's back to the mother house. So does that mean Phyllis is back?
Right.
I would hope
we'd have Phyllis back for the finale. Sure, that'll make us cry and be happy. Yeah. Make us something happy. Yeah. Be happy over. There's some strange treatment of women with very red skin.
I don't know what that's about at all.
There are a lot of things I could think that would be. Mm-hmm. It could be possibly radiation burn. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
She was in a new tanning bed. They didn't know how to calibrate it right. She's overexposed.
Yes, that's probably it.
That's the LA version.
Yeah.
And real quick, I just wanted to shout out the director you guys were mentioning. It's Christina Ibahan Green. So badass to have a lady director killing it. All of these above the line credits are very female. So props to call them
in.
As they should be on a show like this.
Indeed. Yeah.
Thank you, Jeff.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff.
All right, so did you have any other last thoughts?
No, It was great. I look forward to being like raked through the goals next week. Got it next week. Probably there will be alcohol involved with our podcast next week. I'm already making a plan. Well-fortified tea. Fortified with whiskey. And I look forward to having Courtney back with us.
That'll be good. Wrap it up. All right. Let them know where they can find you.
I am at Tamara Berg on Twitter, you guys. And my website is TamaraCentral.com.
And remember, tell them where they can find Courtney. Do you remember?
Oh, she's at Stuart Starlet everywhere.
And other platforms.
Yeah.
And as I always say, you can only find me here next week when we have our finale for Call the Midwife. Thanks for listening.
See you next time.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.